and none can say unto him, what doest thou? Because he is bringing about his desired end, and because he has all power in heaven and in earth. And so then, as Cain and Abel portray that lineage, there's two seeds, so to speak, as it was told unto Rebekah when I believe she conceived, and it was Esau and Jacob. Said, "It's two manner of men in thy wombs," and that's the way it was with Eve. And there's been enmity, as the Lord said there would be. There's been enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, the lineage of Christ and the lineage of those that follow the devil and reject Christ, those that refuse to accept God's salvation, God's atonement, God's covering. And he has made a covering, and he has published it. But those that know about it, and we see it so plainly, as we've said so many times, the Lord said unto Cain, "Why is thy countenance changed? And why art thou wroth? If thou doest well, will not thou be accepted? And if not, sin lieth at the door." And he knew that he had a perfect example of what was accepted. It was Abel's offering. It was a blood offering. It was an offering that could only be offered as a result of death. It was a covering that came through the blood of Jesus Christ. We see it again demonstrated when the children of Israel was delivered from Egypt, and the death angel came, and he said, "You put the blood over the lintel of the doorpost and on each side of the doorpost." And he said, "When I come, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you." And the death angel came just as Moses said he would come. And when he found a door with no blood on it, he went in. And the firstborn died. From the king's palace down to even the man in prison, even the animals in the stable, the firstborn of every animal and of every family that was not under the covering of the blood died. But the Israelites applied the blood of the lamb over their doorpost. And when he saw the blood, he passed over them. And the apostle says that Jesus is our Passover. And the question is, beloved, are you satisfied? Am I satisfied with God's atonement, with his provision, with the blood of the Lamb? Is that what we're trusting in today? And I trust that it is. It is a sufficient atonement. And he's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. For he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He died once, but death hath no more dominion over him, because he satisfied the just demands of the law. Justice is satisfied. The vengeance of shed blood has been met, and God, the holy judge, is satisfied. The death of his son satisfied his justice. And he said, "In him I am well pleased." And he raised him from the dead. And beloved, I love to think about those two sets of clothes wrappings that was on the body of Jesus when they put him in the grave. And when they went there to find him, the angel said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's alive forevermore." And they saw the grave clothes here and the napkin that was around his face separate, folded neatly over here. Didn't say these over here were folded. And you know why, beloved? To my mind, those grave clothes represent our sin. The body of Christ is said to be the church. They were wrapped around his body, and we are sinful beings. They were not neatly folded up. They were just laying there. And he was our scapegoat. He bore our sins into a land uninhabited. That's what the scapegoat done under the law service. There was two goats, and they cast lots for them. And one was the Lord's, and one was the scapegoat. And the one that was for the Lord was killed, and the blood was applied there on the altar, and the meat was burnt completely. And the scapegoat, the high priest, laid his hands on the goat, signifying that the sin he represented, the high priest represented, when he prayed for all of Israel, it said. He said he was commanded to confess all the sins of all Israel on the head of the scapegoat. He laid his hands on the head of the scapegoat and confessed all the sins of all Israel. There's a particular atonement. And then by fit man, he was led out into the wilderness, into a land uninhabited, never to be seen anymore. And so our scapegoat, the Lord Jesus Christ, bore our sins in that sinless body. And they took him down and laid him in a land uninhabited, in the grave, where there's nothing but the dead. But when they come, beloved, he wasn't there, but the grave clothes was here. And you see, he was without sin. So the body was sinful, wasn't it? It was representative. Now, I know in him we have no sin, but yet it was representative of a sinful people that's been redeemed. And so it was separated because he had no sin, knew no sin, and did no sin. And his head, the napkin around his head, was separate and apart and neatly folded up there. And so here we have a picture of body, of the church of Jesus Christ, and he's the head of the body. And he has bore their sin. This is the thing that he signified to Adam and Eve before he ever put them out of the garden. And he told them, after he put them out, I believe it was, that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. And that's how he done it, beloved. The serpent bruised his heel. He instigated Judas to betray him. And he did. The Lord said to him, Judas, says, why has the devil put in thy heart to betray me? And he went and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. And they crucified him. The Jews were charged with crucifying him in the book of Acts. Said, you have crucified the Holy One, the Just One. Peter said that, and there was 3,000 of them that was pricked in the heart. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and thou shalt be saved. Said, for the promise is unto you and to your children, to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And if I'm not deceived, beloved, one day you call me a sinful man who loved sin, was living in it. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And beloved, if I'm not deceived, I fled for refuge one day and laid hope to the hope that's set before us. And that hope is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And Jesus is our hope, and he's entered within the veil. And they're making intercession for everyone that trusteth in him, for everyone that the Father giveth him, for everyone that he's ever called and yet will call. Seems like a long time, but the Apostle Paul said, consider the long suffering of God as salvation. Consider it as salvation. And beloved, woe to the wicked. Jude said, woe to them that's gone in the way of Cain. Won't. But for the grace of God, I'd be going in the way of Cain. But for the grace of God, I'd be going in the way of Cain today. You would too, beloved, if you were left to your own understanding. Because of our sinful nature. And may God add His blessings to His precious word and sanctify it to our heart. Thy word is truth, the Lord said. Sanctify them with thy word. Thy word is truth. Beloved, the word of God will sanctify your soul and cause you to sanctify the Lord God in your heart and worship His Son, Jesus, whom He has sent. We publish the doors of the church open. There's one or more here today that's never followed their Lord in baptism, and they'd love to do that and join His church. We'll give you that privilege while we assemble together. What shall we sing, brethren? Page 37. Sing when you're ready.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains.
and that the insurance on the building was due. And on behalf of the church, I'd like to thank each one of you that have a part in helping us with those expenses. We appreciate it and we thank you. I also have a letter here that our members of Friendship, Primitive Baptist Church in Denver, Colorado. This couple has a child that's got muscular dystrophy. And they have asked that it be mentioned they are supporting the multiple dystrophy organization. I'm going to lay this letter here on the table, and if anyone is interested in it and has a mind that maybe they want to or are able to help these, then they can get the address. But I won't read it, I'll leave it here on the table. And if anyone is interested in it, they can read it and get the address.
We'll have lunch, we break up, and we invite all who possibly can to stay and eat with us and fellowship with us while we eat. The Lord willing, Elder Sonny Pines will be with my home church at Pine the 18th of this month, which is Tuesday night. And it'll be at Mountain Creek, Liberty Hill, Union Grove, High Point on Saturday night, Meadow Creek Sunday, and Bear Creek Sunday night, Mills Chapel in Canapolis on Monday night, the 24th, and Parkview Church at Western Salem the 25th. Also, I have here Elder Sandy Bryant. This goes up in June, but on June the 2nd, Monday night, you'll be at Northview, Tuesday night at Catherine Road, Wednesday night, June the 4th, Saints Delight, Thursday night, Friday night at Parkview Church. That's in June the 2nd to the 6th. Is there any other announcements? If not, we'll bow with us and ask the Lord to dismiss us. Most kind and merciful, Heavenly Father, we humbly bow with the hearts of thanksgiving to Thee again this day for Thy wonderful salvation in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the church, dear Lord, that we can assemble together and worship Thee in a manner acceptable to God, our Father, and Thy Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank You for the precious gospel that tells us of the wonderful things that Thou hast done for us, and what Thou yet will do for Thy dear people. Now, Father, our Lord, we pray, Lord, dismiss us in Thy care, be our light and darkness, and our strength and weakness, for we ask in Jesus' name.